Psalms 55. Psalms 55 deals with David's troubles. Ahithophel was his counselor, and he alludes to him. "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then would I have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my God, mine acquaintance." Amen. David alludes to his chief counselor Ahithophel, who was his bosom friend. Amen. And then when Absalom took the kingdom, the hearts of the people away from David and attempted to take the kingdom, drove David from his throne into temporary exile, Ahithophel became his counselor, that is, Absalom's counselor. Amen. And this is who David speaks about. Amen. And as he speaks about this, he gets in the spirit of prophecy and looks ahead to another time when another David, a son of David, a type of David, would be betrayed by his friend, his acquaintance, which is Judas Iscariot. Amen. And that's what he alludes to. It is the cycle of prophecy in the Bible. The cycle of prophecy is like a knot on a tire. It goes around and around and goes bump, bump, bump. Every time it comes around, it goes bump, bump, bump. Amen. Every time it makes a circle, it goes bump. And the faster it goes, it's going bump, 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 bump. And it seems like that the whole tire is full of bumps. John said there are antichrists everywhere. Many antichrists, he said, now. John was alluding to the fact that even now, the cycle of prophecy is in rotation. Amen. During the world War II, my dad couldn't get tires for the old 33 Chevy. And so he learned on his own how to take the lining out of one tire and put it in another tire. And oftentimes boot a whole half a tire with the lining out of another tire. In order to keep the lining from sliding, he would drive steeples through it. I mean regular fence steeples through the inside to the outside and brad them on a railroad iron. And that's the way he kept the liner from sliding. And it worked pretty good when you couldn't get tires in wartime. I mean, it was better than walking. But even on a gravel road, the tires went whomp, 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 whomp. You could hear him coming down the road. The tires were going whomp, 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 whomp. Because he had boots in his tires like that. He'd relined his tires in the old 33 Chevy. He's going whomp, 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 whomp. Now what you see going on today in Babylon and Iraq, what you see going on today in Israel is the cycle of prophecy. And every time they rattle another headline, that's a whomp, whomp, whomp. Amen. But one of these days, folks, things going to blow sky high. Amen. It's just one thing about it. Those tires my dad fixed up wouldn't stand speed. Of course, you didn't have to worry about it. The national law then was 35 miles per hour. That was the law. How many remember that in war times? You remember the speed limit was 35 miles an hour. Amen. Well, I got news for you. You didn't have to worry. My dad didn't drive that fast. Amen. It's like old Uncle Cleve England got his first car and drove that Model A Ford out of town. Amen. And headed for home, made it just fine, round all the curves. Until he got to that sharp curve just before he got to the Worth Road, and he never did get straightened up after that. He just kept going around, down through the woods, started down Hickernut Holler. Amen. And he's used to driving a team, and he was pulling back on the steering wheel, hollering, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, But the team wouldn't stop till he ran up against a hickory tree. Amen. Well, Uncle Cleve, that was his first experience. He just bought a car, never had to drove, and learned how to drive it. Amen. One day, he was going to town, and Aunt Essie was sitting beside him, and she said, "You're kind of stretching yourself, aren't you?" As he got up a pretty good clip, and he looked down, he was going 15 miles an hour. Amen. He was going a little faster than usual, stretching himself. Amen. I remember that Dad traded the old 33 Chevy in for a 37 Chevrolet. Man, that was a pretty car. Amen. Had that pretty grill. And we took a little drive. We got across the Arkansas-Missouri line into Missouri where the road was paved. We took a little drive one day up to West Plains, Missouri. And you wouldn't believe it. I wrote in a little thesis in school a little bit later that we got up to 45 miles an hour. You didn't have to worry about Dad's tires, you know, blowing out too quick because they didn't drive very fast back then. Amen. But it still went whump, whump, whump. Whump, whump, whump. That's the way prophecy is. It goes whump, whump, whump. Here is the first bump on the tire. This is Ahithophel's betrayal of David. Amen. And the tire goes whump. The cycle of prophecy starts. And down through the ages, it goes whump, whump, whump. With many betrayals and many times. And then finally at last, it culminates to the night before Calvary. When Judas betrays the Lord with a kiss. David speaks of that in prophecy right here. Amen. He's talking both of Ahithophel and Judas. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. The Bible don't have anything good much to say about Judas. Amen. His place is hell. Amen. And the Bible said that he might go to his own place. Help us, Lord. Amen. That's not what I'm preaching on this morning. That's not what I'm teaching on. Verse 16 says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me." Did you hear it? As for me. Hallelujah. How many raise your hand and say, "As for me. As for me. As for me. As for me. As for me." Whew, what if nobody did? What if you don't? Will your children do it if you don't? "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me." Let's bow our heads and let's call upon him a little bit. Father in heaven, move mighty to save, move mighty to heal, move mighty to deliver this morning, this day. Make your power known in this Bible class, Lord, this morning service. I pray you make your glory known amongst us. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. "As for me, I'll call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud." Hebrew choira for call means to cry aloud. Amen. That's the basic meaning of it. To call or to cry aloud. Amen. Both Strong's and the dictionary both agree on that. Amen. It means to call and to cry aloud. How did you get where you are in God this morning? I can tell you by crying out to him. By calling on to him. Woo! You was born again in a river of tears. You was born again, calling on the name of the Lord. Praise God. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And what? And he shall hear my voice. He always has. And he still does. Hear my voice. Praise God. I thought I would call this the mother of all revelations. Amen. The mother of all revelations. The source and wellspring of 10,000s of blessings. Amen. A fountain undiminished. Chrysostom said, a sky unobscured by storm. Praise God. The mother of 1,000 blessings. Hallelujah. Chrysostom was a man of prayer. He found more in prayer than most folks find in the world. When his mother begged Chrysostom not to go into the monastery but to stay with her, she had lost her husband. Now she couldn't bear to lose him who had taken the place of her dead husband and to live with her until she died. And so he listened to her pleadings. Well, well, well. If a mother can prevail upon a preacher by her pleadings, how much more can you prevail on God by your pleadings? Amen. And so he did not go into the monastery, but instead went home and made a monastery out of his house. He slept on the floor without a mattress. He ate very seldom and very little. Amen. And spent his time in prayer and meditation. Why did they do that? Why have men did that down through the ages? They have sacrificed food and time and wealth. They have disdained the things of this world. They have disdained good food and the fineries of this life and the comforts of this life. Amen. He at one time declared that he would not sleep on a soft bed. Declined the comforts of life. Amen. Denied himself the comforts of life. I'm not saying you have to do that. Amen. But Chrysostom did. But he got so close to God that he got holiness. He got so close to God, he got righteousness. He got so close to God, he cried out against the sins of the Eastern Orthodox Church. Amen. And they banished him. They banished him. They banished him once. They banished him twice, but still they couldn't stop the prayers. They banished him 3 times. And finally, as they put 2 soldiers, 2 mean men on each side of him to drive him farther and farther away from civilization. And finally he died, his weak, frail body succumbing to the continuous persecution. Amen. Only to be glorified and magnified. The writings of Chrysostom today, many of them are still in the Eastern Orthodox Church. His catechisms are still taught and read. Amen. His writings and teachings are revered by all. Why? Chrysostom took time to seek God and to wait on God. Amen. Oh, listen to this. Genesis 4:26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. What an exciting revelation. Amen. When men realized that he did not have to walk alone anymore, he could call on the name of the Lord. I will never walk alone. He holds my hand. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that through prayer you never, ever have to walk alone? People thought they would find it in the crowd and in the acclaim of the crowd and a sense of belonging in the multitude. but they found themselves lost in the crowd and still hungering for God. Those in the crowd found themselves no better than those that they pitied out yonder in the desert seeking their God in some cave. And those that were enjoying the finery and riches of this world, amen, would actually admire those that found God in a cave. Praise God. Oh, no matter where you find Him, you can find Him. Hey, this morning, praise God, this fountain is undiminished. This cloud is untroubled by storm. Glory to God. Call upon the name of the Lord. This revelation is so marvelous and so wonderful that David voices it in the 55th Psalm and said, "As for me, I will call upon the name of the Lord." What do you do when you're betrayed? What do you do when friends are disloyal? What do you do when men let you down? What do you do when friends fail you? I'll tell you what you do. You call on God. What do you do when husband or wife or children are those that you've invested so much in fall and fail and quail and go astray and fall by the wayside, leave you alone? I'll tell you what you do. You do just like David did, just like Jesus did. Call on the name of the Lord. Amen. What do you do when loved ones die? You call on the name of the Lord. I told you about Karenita last night. Her and Gary's my wife's class. Big change since I first met Karenita and preached her mother's funeral about 7 or 8 years ago. Karenita was a bleach blonde, deep in sin. Amen. Today, she's filled with the Spirit and on fire with God and in the A women corner. Hallelujah. Praise God. Holiness loves it. Amen. When I preached Gary Grubb's little brother's funeral and preached a message on previews of things to come, amen, that was even before Karenita's mother's funeral, amen, Gary's little brother died. Gary was deep in sin, amen, still out in the world, still a boxer, still going to nightclubs, amen, and people were still, because he was a boxer, picking fights with him to try him, amen. That was Karenita's own testimony right here in this church a few years ago. What a change. You know what made the change? They began to call on the name of the Lord. Born again. Born again by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Born again. Listen to it. What a revelation. There would be no greater revelation than the outpouring of the Spirit finally came. In fact, Joel projected it right down into the great tribulation when he talked about the sun being turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. What do you do when the sun turns black if you didn't go in the rapture of the church? What do you do when the sun turns black and the moon turns to blood and the world is rocked in the ebb and throw of terrible wrath and judgment and tribulation? This is what to do. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Hallelujah. That's what the Jews will do in the time of tribulation. Praise God. Ah, yes. Amen. But the database was set in Acts chapter 2. The last days had already started. The wheel had already started rolling, praise God. Amen. And God was booting the tire, if you please. In Acts chapter 2, hallelujah, it had already started. The last days already. This is that, Peter said, which was prophesied by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit. That afterward Joel said, Peter said in Acts chapter 2, in the last days, a paraphrasal of Joel, praise God, in the last days have already started, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Praise God. That's Acts chapter 2. It shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Woo, glory. Amen. Listen to this. Romans 10 and 13. Paul preaching to the Roman church. Praise God. He said, there is no difference, 12th verse, between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto them that call, cry aloud, rich. How do you dig these riches? How do you get them? Call. And then he repeats a thrice repeated prophecy, the revelation of God about prayer, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. That's a way to get it. The riches of God are as close as a prayer. The only cure, real cure for loneliness is prayer. Everything else is just a distraction. The comedian can make you laugh. The singer and the entertainer can make you cry. And he can bring you out to the edge of your seat. The game can excite you, but it is merely a distraction. You've got to go home. You've got to lay down. And you got to look at the ceiling. And you've got to think, what if I was to die tonight? And so you go back to the bottle, and you go back to the cigarettes, and you go back to the pleasures, and you go back to the games, and you spend the next day, the week, amen, in either the meditation or the pursuit of these things. Amen. But after the show is over, I had to go home. I had to come down. And the show is over. And now I'm laying in the bed in the dark. And it's me and eternity. You and guilt. You and your loneliness. Amen. The only real cure is the greatest revelation, the grandest cure all ever was. Amen. They're all the time coming out with a new drug. Just the other day, they told about a new drug to lose weight. But they had to take two off the market because they found they caused heart attacks. And so the new one, they had to keep it off the market till after the first of the year too, until they tested it to see if it caused heart attacks. They didn't want to take the second, another chance on a third one. Amen. Oh yes, they're all the time coming out with something new. Hey, God's had the cure forevermore. He's had the cure. I mean right in the gates of Eden, the mother of all revelations. Enos was born, and some way, somehow, automatic, out of the depths of men's soul, that distinguished, I mean men from men. Hey, men begin to call on the name of the Lord. It was those men that descended from Enos when they began to call on the name of the Lord. Enoch, Methuselah, and Noah. Hallelujah. Ah, they followed in that path. Greatest men were characterized by prayer. A prayer life. Hey, if you don't have a prayer life, you're not going to be great. You never will be great. Amen. You'll never amount to anything in eternity. Oh, no. Amen. Your works in this world, what you accomplish in this world, won't even be legal tender in heaven. Amen. Without calling on the name of the Lord. You got to call on the name of the Lord. You got to get a hold of God. Amen. Seek Him. How do you find Him? Call on Him. Amen. Paul told those heathen on Mars Hill to feel after him. How do you feel after God? Call on him. Call on him loud. Let him hear your loud cry. Amen. Praise God. Howard Surratt used to sing that song, Lord, I'm a trusting. Have mercy on me. Lord, steady my lifeboat while I'm at sea. And gently I feel the touch of his hand. Guiding my boat to heaven's fair land. Leading my way to heaven's bright shore. And troublesome waters I'm fearing no more. Praise God. I'm telling you this morning, you can call on God and you don't have to fear troublesome waters. You can call on God and you'll never have to be alone again. You'll have God. Ooh, hallelujah. Men of prayer like Daniel. Ah, yes, men of prayer like Abraham. Men of prayer like the saints of old have summoned angels from their estate to make a bodily appearance and tell them things to come. But the greatest and grandest revelation of all was when men begin to pray and call on the name of the Lord, the mother of all revelations. Hey, it's nigh thee, the Bible said. It's even in thy mouth. Amen. It's wanting to come out. It's in your mouth right now. What is that prayer? That cry. Lord, I'm a trusting. Have mercy on me. Lord, steady my lifeboat while I am at sea. It's nesting in your bosom right this morning. It wants to come out. You say, I don't know how to pray. You don't have to learn how to pray. A baby don't have to learn how to cry. It's born doing that. Amen. It cries for everything. It cries when it's hungry. It cries when it needs a bath. It cries for everything. It cries for attention. You don't have to teach a baby how to cry. Say, I don't know how to pray. Yes, you do. Cry. Lord, have mercy on me. Amen. That's what the publican did. Amen. David said, as for me. Ah, amen. Others may do something else, but David said, as for me, I'll call on God. I mean, he's just been betrayed by his chief counselor, by his bosom friend. Amen. I mean, he's just been betrayed. Ahithophel was also Bathsheba's uncle. Amen. So he was his acquaintance, you might say. Amen. By marriage. And he's just been betrayed by his acquaintance. What do you do when you've been betrayed by friends? But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. We walked in the house of God in company. Hey, no matter what anybody else does, no matter what others do, you can do what David did, what Abraham did, what Jesus did. You can say, as for me, I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord will save me. Raise your hand and praise God this morning. Amen. Sing, Brother Croucher. Sing, Taria. Praise God. Amen. They're ready to sing while we take this home missions offering for Brother Corn. Just obey God. Let the Lord have His way. Hallelujah.